Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
So many things are taking place, and God is speaking in so many levels. And I can see, let me tell you the future. If you happen to be listening and wonder what the future's like, I got some things I can't really share with you just yet, but I will be sharing with you really soon on the air. It's going to really make you just, oh my goodness. And but just listen, I realize that God orchestrates things. God lines things up, and that and the reason why you're listening is because you're a part of it, if you choose to be. Because we're one big family, the family of God. No matter what religion tells you, you know, if you love Jesus and you made him the Lord of your life, you're my brother, you're my father, you're my mother, you have fathers and mothers. We're family. We're the family of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't think so, there's a lot of grace for that, and you're going to get to heaven and go,
I
guess
wrong.
You're my brother and my father. And you just say, you know, shut up and set the table. Anyway, so, yeah, right. I mean, but things are unfolding so rapidly. You think about when these significant things happen in your season of your life, because you know you read history, you read prophetic history and advanced future, and you're thinking, I'm in it.
Right.
I'm in it. And then you think, oh, I'm in it. I have a role to play. You know, you have a role to play. There's something you're supposed to be doing right now. God has intentioned you and purposed you and trained you for this day. And you, things that you thought delayed you and things you thought that hindered you, those were lessons from God. They were testing of your faith. If you are serving God today, no matter what happened in your past, then you've passed those tests. You passed those tests when you got off and dust the dust off of your whatevers, and you got up and you said, you know, here I am. God, I love you. Like Amy Simple McPherson, no, like Catherine Kuhlman said, when she had a whole bucket full of mistakes in the middle of her ministry because she let her emotions... Hello out there. Mm. She let her emotions, she thought, you know, if I just, you know, I know God's moving, he's shaking the world through me, even though they don't want, at that time in the history, they wouldn't even think that women could minister. It's like, hello, she's ministering, people can say, people can heal, God's with her, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And, but she started thinking, you know, if I just had some loaves and garlics and fish like everybody else, if I could just, I know what I need. I need to get married. If I get married... You know, I just need to get married. Besides, I have this man that's really wanting to get married. He's really made a lot of money off my ministry because he has a radio station. And he wants to be able to broadcast. I'm sure it's, I don't know if that's exactly, but if he has a radio station, I'm sure he was like, you know. And so whatever happened, you know, with that, she ends up diverting from the love affair with God and trying to split that with what I needed to be filled full was be married to a person, you know. And Paul said, you know, marriage is like oatmeal. I'm sorry. I know you probably maybe made it all about an idol. You made it about everything in the world. But listen, it's about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the Word of God says. He says this. He says, well, Paul was talking to the unction of the Holy Spirit. He said, if you're not, I'd rather you not. But if you do, it's not sin. So shut up about it and live it the way God wants you to live it. And if you are married, live like you're not, because the day's short.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, hang it, you're gonna live to the end with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So just learn to live with it no matter how it is. And if the unbeliever departs, they depart, but you're not running them off. It's like, come on, quit. It's about Jesus. You know, America has made a marriage an idol, and now it's the idol's being shoved down America's throat.
Mm. Wow.
They made marriage to men, you know, marriage in general, to an idol, you know, and used it as a tool and said that this is of God because I am. Like, no, you're evil. You're not, just because you're married, you know, you're evil. I mean, Ahab and Jezebel were married.
Mm-hmm.
And God was just disgusted with them.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at it. Now look what's happening. Now look what's happening. It's crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how we get on this rabbit trail, but I know, but I know that, you know, that Jesus is he's our bridegroom. He's the bridegroom, and the church is his bride. And God, his Father and our Father, is preparing us for a wedding banquet for us that he's going to present us as a spotless, believe it or not, wrinkleless, yeah, no, I know. I'm looking at Pat when I'm talking about this. Bride, without spot or wrinkle, to his Son. God loves his son so much because he made a way for us to be saved, and he always loved the son because the son always does the will of the father. He says, I just want to do something for you. Mm-hmm. I just want to do something for you. What can I do for you? I'm so grateful. I just love you so. Oh, he's like, ooh. You know, Jesse Duplantis, when he saw Jesus and God, and he just saw this radiating power and glory, and, you know, I don't know what the name, I can't remember the name. He even wrote about it in a book. But it was just,
Heavenly Encounter, something like that.
Yeah. But it's Jesse Duplantis, you can find it. But anyway, it's just like, and it's like the son going to the father going to the son, and just great pleasure. It's just like, you know. And he's like, oh, I want to do something for you. And so, of course, the first Adam, he did something for him. Uh-huh. He laid him down, and he pulled a rib out, and he created him a helpmate. He had a wife. This is a gift to you, Adam.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, now that went out, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so now this is the second Adam. And he said, I'm gonna right where he was pierced in his side and all the blood poured out, the blood that came out of your side, the blood that your life intentionally, yourself, I laid down the first Adam, but you lay down yourself, the second Adam, you lay down yourself. And because you did that for us, to be able to bring us in a relationship, that what poured out of your side, I'm going to take that and I'm going to redeem for you a bride. And you're going to be loyal to him, and you're going to take away, he's going to take away your name and give you a new name. What you doing keeping your name, what are you doing calling yourself a Christian? Listen, it is not about us.
Hmm.
It's not about us.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we go. We are being prepared to be the bride for God's son. And by the way, when you get married in the family, guess what happens? You get the inheritance. Not only is he our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only is he our elder brother, but we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I mean, he's created the universe. Like, what do you think he's worth? All of creation, you know. How much gold does he have? He has other things we haven't thought about. Yeah, all of it.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say it this way: he builds his houses out of gold, and he has streets of gold, and you know, the sticky stuff on the back of stamps in heaven are just like some liquid gold you lick and just stick it back. It's like ridiculous. Like, come on, it's about him. It's not about all this stuff. Hopefully they'll have self-sticking stamps. Right, just joking. There's not. They're probably like, there's a male doctrine now for heaven. M-A-I-L doctrine for heaven. Be careful. And so, but God is speaking now. And he says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And as a matter of fact, John, I want you to read this in Acts as we're talking about this. That this is what he says. He says that there's going to be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and in Acts chapter 2, when he's talking about, you know, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh.
Are you talking about Joel?
Well, Joel, yeah, but he's
quoting it.
Yeah. That's it in Acts.
And so you think about this. Imagine this. What if you're living in that day? And what if you're living in that day and you don't even know it, and all of a sudden you find out you were in it, but you missed it? And that would be terrible, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be just so sad. But many will. It's amazing. Yeah. It's totally, totally amazing. I think it's in Acts chapter 2 when he's explaining how things are going to happen there. And he says, you got it, John?
Yep.
Go ahead.
He says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show you wonders in the heavens above and in signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
What you're going to see is this outpouring of God's spirit on all. Mm-hmm. And now we know Matthew chapter 17, just because you dreamed, just because you prophesied, you were a sign, but sometimes you can be a sign and a wonder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so, but that's a sign. And all of a sudden when recently, you know, we went to a particular land that where God has sent us to, and the people began to prophesy to us.
Mm.
They just prophesied. The everyday folk are just begin to speak, and they had no idea. I have people that come and see me, and all of a sudden, they don't really know. They just know they're just loving God, and all of a sudden they begin to prophesy to me, and confirmed the very thing that God had already laid in my heart.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, when they hear the response, they're overwhelmed with how God used them as a sign. Mm-hmm. And then God rewards them for being obedient. And next thing you know, just flips their world, their blessing upside down, and blesses them twice as high as they thought they ever could be. This is going to be, this, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. You don't want to miss where you're going. You don't want to miss where you're going because where God's taking us, because it's going to be awesome. There's going to be a difference between those who are God's and those who say they're gods.
Possessive.
Now, I'm not talking about like gods, but
right.
The ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And
they belong to him.
They belong to him. And there's a lot of religious folks that I really believe is going to get free from the religious captivity, but they work themselves hard being religious. I mean, it's amazing.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it's just like a rigorous, like a drum roll, like a slave ship, you know, boom, boom, boom. It's like, but you haven't heard from God. Has anybody heard from him?
Mm.
And you're the only one saying you heard from. Why are you satisfied? Because your job was to introduce me to the voice of God. And I got to trust you now. It's been a long time and you haven't yet. I haven't heard myself. And how come you're okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
How come you're okay with me not hearing from God?
Mm-hmm.
Are you held captive so that my life does not end well? My eternity doesn't end well?
Wow.
I think the biggest disappointment is the religious captives that it'll bust hell wide open. Because the pride's already there. The arrogance is there. So they're going to be shocked. They're just going to be, don't you know? Oh my goodness, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the humble one, the humble man, the humble woman, the humble believer, they just look like they struggled in that, but yet they heard from God. God spoke to them and he would tell her what to do or he'd tell them what to do. And they just, you know, in loving relationship, just did it. You know, like Song of Solomon, when he talks about, you know, where's my beloved? Have you seen my beloved? What, you're so obsessed with him.
Hmm.
Yeah, why are you running after Jesus like this? You need to function, you know, and guards in the city of God on earth, you know, Jerusalem are beating up the bride.
Wow.
The people who say they're all about God are beating her up. The watchmen are beating her up.
Yeah.
And it's just like, who cares, you know? I mean, about how we're treated. We do care how others are treated. We care how, I mean, our biggest test is how we respond to those who test us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But these days, I'm telling you, the Lord is just speaking with power, and it's just happening. We're seeing, and what we've seen is, you know, and you need to go to iabide.org and just get in and begin to abide with him, begin to walk it out, even if it's with crayons and some double-line paper. You know, you've got, he says, there'll be a day that you'll hear the voice of the Son of Man and you shall live.
Mm-hmm.
Which means this, prior to hearing his voice, you're dead in your sins.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, there'll be a day that you will say a prayer and you'll be saved. No, he said, there'll be a day that you hear the voice of the Son of Man and you shall live.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't cry into a Lord you don't even know, you know what I'm saying? Because in the last days, he said, I never knew you.
Right.
It's about a relationship with him. And by the way, if you're even prepared to be his bride, he's going to want you to be interested in him. Intentionally.
Yeah.
Not squeezing him in. You know, can you imagine like coming to your wife once a week? You know, you're living with all these other women or maybe vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, you know what, baby, I'm going to give you a good 45 minutes on Sunday where we can come and we can talk and all that kind of stuff. But I have all these other families, all the other relationships and other homes
right.
and stuff. But, you know, at least I'm putting like 3% into the bills here.
Mm.
You know, I can't give you the whole 10% that you're really needing. Mm. You know, I know it's not really robbery anymore because this is the new covenant where I can take advantage of you and not be held accountable for it. You know,
oh, gosh.
Wow. Is that not right?
That's so true.
That's the gospel. And they say, but as people go like, yeah, me too. I have a relationship. I have, well, whoever that is in that apartment you're putting up, it ain't Jesus. Whoever's, you know, you're
That's
just
right.
visiting once a week.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. Listen, he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Religion is just, oh my goodness. You know, and nobody wants to be religious. Who wants to be religious? A whole bunch of rules with no purpose and no relationship and no intimacy. But when you have this awesome encounter with the creator of the universe and you find out how much he loves you and how merciful he is and how graceful he is and that he shares his secrets with you, and he directs your steps. You say, hear, he says, hear what the Spirit says to the church. He just speaks to you. And you can find out who's listening, who's not, because all of a sudden, out of 10,000 people around you, there's like 8 of you that you bump into each other like, oh, you're doing the same thing. Me too, you know, right?
It's called obedience, right? Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, I obey him.
Yeah, and it's like, wow. You bump into the people who hear God, and you're like, whoa. And it's confirmation, too, because you're thinking, you know, somebody totally outside of your circle is, but yet serves your same God, you know, is loyal to Jesus. They're hearing the very same thing, from God. And I used to say, well, you know, it's amazing how you could turn on your TV and you can hear things preached the same all the way across the land. But then I found out where a lot of people get their messages by watching TV. So one of them preaches it on TV and then somebody else just picks it up and they take it themselves. But there is something else called the Spirit of God that begins to speak to his people, pulpit or no pulpit, and they're all hearing it. And what happens is when we all hear the voice of God, when we come together, when anybody shares what God's saying, there's something that just roars up in your spirit that comes out, and all of a sudden it starts coming out of your mouth, and it goes, amen!
Yeah.
Which means that's right, and I agree. Because it's a witness of the God you serve. You're already hearing him already. You're hearing him already. And he's saying right here, this is what he said. This is what he's saying. He said, listen, so I'll pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So you have, what do you have? You have prophecies, visions, dreams. This is how God speaks. Signs and wonders, and we're fixing to see some huge signs right now. We're about to see 4 blood moons about to come up in about
13 months?
Yeah, something like that month. And I want to talk to you about one in the future. When we talking about red moons, there was a very significant one when we were in the middle of a prophecy that came up, and we were prophesying the Malachi mandate. And but when we get back in just a moment, we're going to let you hear a dream from Cooper that he just had. God just spoke to him, and his mom was talking to him, and he's sharing with him the dream, sharing with her the dream of what God has shown him. And it's very important, because you have to understand he's 8 years old. And his understanding is only what God has seen. He's already been, God's shown him a couple times already. But we're also seeing, if you've been listening to VFN Radio, and we're seeing it, we're going to begin to bring the children and do interviews with the children so you can hear the children, not just the adults, children are hearing from God. The day's getting close. You better prepare yourself. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
How do you handle traumatic events? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller. Dr. Walt Larimore describes a tragic situation and the different ways he and his wife Barb processed the difficult news.
5 or 6 of the staff were killed, and a couple of others were in the hospital in the ICU. And when we heard that, my response to that was I just needed some time to pray about it, to process it. Barb called her best friend Penny, and we used to get mad about that. Like, why can't she talk to me? Why does she have to talk to Penny? Or why does he go away? Why can't he talk to me? Now we understand that.
Well, it helps to be aware of how God designed men and women, because we do handle life's difficulties in different ways. And rather than letting those differences irritate you, it's best to learn to understand and then appreciate them. Dr. Larimore has more to say right now at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, when we first started trying to articulate, you know, what God was doing with us, you know, we thought, you know, how do you explain God? I mean, how do you explain family? How do you because it's just kind of hard. The paradigm shift is so huge from going to church to being the church, you know, from that building being the temple of God to us being the temple of God. And then in families, really family, you know, Jesus said when his mother Mary was outside and his brother was outside knocking on the door because they thought he lost his mind because he was ministering actually in a house, and to his disciples, and they were coming to rescue him because he hadn't eaten. They were going to rescue God, John. They were going to rescue God. And that he hadn't eaten in a couple of days. And they just knew because that was their family. They thought, that's my family. That's my relative in there, so he'll actually come out. And so somebody tells Jesus, he says, you know, your mother and your brother's outside wanting to talk to you.
And he goes, who is my mother? This is God speaking through his son, Jesus Christ, right? He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And today's church will say, the people knocking on the door.
Right.
But that's not what he said. He said this. He said, those who do the will of my Father, when he was looking at his disciples sitting in front of them. We've got to recapture again the understanding of the family of God, because the truth is that if we really love our family, we're going to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going to make it into the family of God and into eternity in heaven. And so we want them to be able to make it. But, you know, we try to come together, try to come out a way to explain that. We did that with the Vine seminars. You know, that we first had a Vine seminar to be able to explain us, to take us from these mindsets of realizing that we have an awesome King and God who loves us, and he wanted family, and to that we are the ark of God, and God's presence dwells with us, and it's just awesome thing of activation. And it's an exciting thing. The Vine seminar is about, you know, Vine Fellowship Network, but also it's just grown into other seminars as well. And so if you want to find out more about Vine seminars, from marriage to personality, from, you know, what it's like just to be the church, you know, maybe you can glean from it. Go to vineseminars.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And I really believe what we were talking yesterday about the power of God, that the kingdom of God is not about mere talk, but it's about power. And though the words are true, there needs to be, there, people need evidence of the power of God when you're ministering to them. If Jesus said, God in the flesh, if he said, if you don't believe what I'm saying, at least believe the evidence of the miracles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if God said that and he wasn't offended that that had to happen, who were we to even say, you know, need some evidence?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, here we are, that the power of God being poured out, or poured out from believers, when we realize that the kingdom of God is within us and we just step out by faith. And we're going to talk about today, you know, the regrets of living safe. It's the opposite happens in your life. And that it has to be loosed from inside of you. The kingdom has to be loosed and carried. I mean, think, this is how humble God is. This is this awesome God who could just, you know, move his finger and wipe us out, but he's madly in love with us, and he's making himself known to us if we'll listen, and he wants to forgive us. That here he was, he loved us and he wanted to have a relationship with us, but the only way that could happen is if he offered up his own son. So he sends his son, who was born of a virgin, to live and walk on this earth for 33 years. He lived, he ministered. He did all these signs, wonders, and miracles, and everything we read in the Gospels, and the powerhouse ministry of Jesus. And then he dies, he's raised from the dead, and he's with the Father now. But he leaves that in the hands of men to write about it.
Mm.
You know, most of us will go, well, let me write the book, because you're not going to get this right. Your viewpoint is going to be totally different. And God, the creator of the universe, who's holding everything together, said, or didn't, by his actions, okay, you just observe what I'm saying and doing and write about it. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was under the unction of the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
But we still can mess that up. I don't know if y'all noticed that or not.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, an unction means, you know, Brother King used to tell me, it means God grabbing you by the scruff of the neck and telling you got to go. And, but entrusted to men the gospel of salvation, to write about it, to communicate to us, that this is how it happened. I mean, is that why? Because he says, you know, very specifically that you know, that I don't testify about myself. He said, I mean, he says, I think it's in John chapter 5, verse 31-32. He says, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. But you think about it. He could have written 1,000 books, you know. He could have just like, okay, typewriters aren't invented yet, but we're going to have a pop in a word processor, whack this thing out. Or he could have just told some angels, type it up, get it done.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. get it to them. Sort of like the Mormons think it happened, you know, the Egyptian golden tablets. And but he didn't. He didn't do that. And because and today everybody's about self-promotion. They're trying to promote themselves. And they're trying to network and promote themselves. And it's all about the only person that's given a witness of them is them. And it's like, you know, show me some evidence. I mean, where, I mean, I know that you clicked and said that, you know, you're on Facebook, you said you're friends, but are you really friends? I mean, can they testify about your life? Mm. This is what I used to say in the sheriff's department when I was a deputy was that, you know, that you want to be able to, you got to have witnesses that know your life. That can testify about your character and all that because you're constantly being put on a witness stand and all that. And we're working with men, and we'd always say, listen, is there enough, do you have enough friends in your life to carry your casket? It takes six pallbearers to be able to carry a casket. Can you name six people today that would carry your casket?
Outside of your friends, I mean, outside of your family.
Outside the obligatory crew.
Right.
Yeah, got to carry it. And think about it, that there should be people that you're living your life around that can testify that you're a talker or a walker. I mean, it's doing mm-hmm. the same situation. And Jesus didn't even testify of himself. He said, if I, in another bar he talks about, he says, if I did testify, it'd be accurate, but I'm not going to do it. He let God do it and he let men do it. And God mm-hmm. did it through his spirit, giving these men an unction, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, mm-hmm. four men.
Right.
You know, I think I was, oh my goodness, you know.
Amazing.
And so I just want to encourage you to embrace humility. Embrace humility and live your life in such a way. Let God be the one that that promotes you. He is that's where promotion comes from. And be okay with being you need to be low anyway. Keep your head low and Lord high. But understand you don't want to be promoted before your time. It could cost you your head. I mean, think about this. God is working individually in everyone's lives, and he has an orchestra he's playing, and you need to play your flute or your saxophone at the same time. When he says now, that's when you play it. You got a saxophone, you just don't start riding over everybody else. You start messing up the orchestra. Mm-hmm. But understand, it might not make sense, but God could have somebody that he has doing something that they will do that in the season for you know, 2 or 3 years, 10 years, or a decade, and all of a sudden, that will be over. He says, "Now it's time." And then he would mm-hmm. just loose that next gift on the body and in the world. And Joseph proves that when you look at Joseph's life. I mean, Joseph, he was just faithful to his father and doing what he was told. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, he heard the voice of God. It just rocked the world. It changed everything. He heard the voice of God. God spoke to him in his sleep. Mm-hmm. And he was pumped about it. And I don't know if he shared it too soon.
A little too pumped about it.
Yeah, I guess, you know. And brothers don't like to hear, oh, you'll be bowing down to me. You know, and needless to say, what they meant for evil, God worked it out for good. But it does make you wonder, you know, could the journey been different? And or when Paul, I mean, think about Paul. When he was talking about humility, understanding, even in all that, God spoke to Joseph, and it looked like, wow, this thing's going to happen. But then there was a whole process that he had to trust God in as he was going through that. And at just the right time, when he didn't even want it, mm-hmm. he was promoted to the second, basically president of Egypt, and he was running Egypt. Yeah. And that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Today, he's like, man, we sure need a Christian over Egypt. Yeah. A Jew.
That'd be good.
A Jew was the president of Egypt.
Yeah.
That's what happened. A Jew was president of Egypt. And they knew he was a Jew.
Yeah.
And promoted him there. And you can just so understand that Jesus trusted the Father and allowed him to testify of Jesus and his spirit, you know, to give people drawings and unctions to begin to write and recall and all that. And it's like, think about this, how much easier it's going to be for you when you stop promoting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have so much free time to be able to minister and love.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails, Call them today. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spa. If you're looking to make some additions to your home, consider today visiting Joyce at Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spas, and they ship nationwide.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned, and he's, I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I actually had I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. And in my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, that one is going to cost you. And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him, Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face, you're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got 5 fingers. This finger represents this, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom.
Bam.
And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know,
get on the right side.
And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God, but he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where
and pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part. Yeah. But
I'm sure he thought.
Wash me, Jesus.
And
think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against him. That if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them his awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, organize me.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
But it's just amazing. I just want to encourage you today. I mean, that's just amazing to me that God, the creator, you understand, everything you see and don't see, he created, sent his son. So here he's this huge price he's giving for us, this huge price Jesus is laying down for us, but he leaves it in the hands of men to write about it.
Also humility, when you think about it, I mean, it can teach so many of us, right?
Right.
In the church at large, you see a lot of people just looking for prominence and stage, and it's like, Jesus wasn't even concerned about it. I mean, that's just kind of just, that's mind-boggling that the Son of God would come and the importance of what he did on the face of this earth and what he did for us as mankind, and he didn't even write it dead.
Yeah.
He allowed the ones he was ministering to. You know what I'm
saying? For 3 years.
To write it.
Yeah.
You know, of course, in the actual Holy Spirit, like we said, but still, I mean.
Wow, we can mess that up. We've proven that that's possible to have the unction of the Holy Spirit mess that up.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, Lord, forgive. We will never bring ourselves up, Lord. It's like, wait a minute. That
right.
Is just...
And the whole thing is that we are into promotion, but it's not self-promotion. It's a promotion of Jesus and his kingdom.
Yes.
And somebody, you know, says, well, you know, you're real aggressive about it. Yeah. There's going to be a day we're going to face God. We want that's what we're supposed to be doing. Not we're supposed to be denying ourselves and promoting Jesus.
That's
you know,
right?
That's right.
We have all those talents, but they're not to be used on us. They're to be used on advancing the kingdom of God.
Exactly.
And just amazing. Just I want to encourage you. I mean, if God entrusted men to write down his message to us, I mean, think about that. That's amazing. No videos, no pictures. I mean, men they're gonna write it down,
mm-hmm.
scratch it out.
And the amazing thing is how accurate they were when they wrote it. But he still entrusted men, flawed men, to be able to men that he just had to give his son so they could be in relationship with men that needed a savior, men that were fallen. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They weren't like Jesus, and so it's just amazing to me. You know, when God's just revealing that to me, just like wow. I mean, you know, obviously, Pat. Trust God like that, but you know, we got to really just kind of let it go, right?
That's right.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
I was in a meeting, I guess, or something, and so I was gonna go to the restroom. You're not gonna believe this. I go to the restroom. But I was in my zone. What's that?
We might.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm in that zone, right? In the zone. And just kind of, you know, knocking that out and getting back. And at that time, there was things going on that they were talking about, you know, integrating the sexes and there's no difference between men and women and we're all, all the stuff was going on. And I didn't even look at the door. I didn't even look at the door. You know what I'm saying? And I opened up the bathroom door and I thought, my goodness. Now they've taken away all the things that we know they're in men's bathrooms, right? And it was like a whole bunch of rooms or something. You know, I'm like, I was just couldn't believe it. I'm like, my goodness. I was just so distraught. I'm thinking, they've even changed our bathrooms. And so obviously I had to go into a closet and I'm in a closet. And next thing you know, I hear this lady's voice.
You hear what?
I hear this lady's voice. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm trapped. I'm in this closet. Oh my goodness. What do I do? Dear God, I need a word. I need a word. You know, because you're like little rooms and stuff. By the way, you don't know this. There's little rooms in there. And you're like in your own little room. And it's like, what do I do? And of course, it's Cracker Barrel, 10 trillion people. And this is obviously sometime back because I read the doors now. I don't care what's going on. I even rubbed the Braille. Okay. Yeah, that's the men's. And so I waited for silence.
And I booked it out of that puppy and came in there and just went totally just try to block it out of my mind. And by God's grace, CNN wasn't outside the door. Explain this. I can't tell you. I can't tell. I have no idea. And, of course, all the people around me go, it can happen. It can happen.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Pat, the fear of the Lord, man. The fear of the Lord. In just a moment, we're going to be hearing a segment about the fear of the Lord. But, you know, what's God speaking to you about the fear of God?
That's very important. Mm. Very important. It's a good sign of where you are personally with your walk with Him in regards to your love for Him and your obedience to Him. Where you are relationally. I mean, it's just when you're walking in the fear of the Lord, you know, you're careful about everything you do, everything you say, what you're thinking, what you're touching, what you're everything. It's just every, you know, it's you know, everything.
Because you're aware His eyes are on you.
Exactly.
Not that they weren't before, but there was no fear. Not,
yeah, now there's yeah. this
awareness.
Awareness, that's the word I'm looking for. And there's consequences when you don't have that fear of the Lord. I just got through reading this a part in this book I'm reading with Jim Baker when John Bevere went and visited him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was still in prison at the time when this happened. And
he was later released and the charges were dropped.
Mm-hmm. And Jim came to the realization that he had no fear of God. And obviously there was consequences because that's how he ended up where he was. But then, you know, once he got released, you know, he says he knew that if he had kept on the path he was going, regardless of all the signs and wonders and all the ministry and all that stuff, he knew he was going to hell.
Right.
So it was a huge wake-up call. This is Jim Baker. I'm talking.
Praise the Lord, UTL Fan yeah. Club and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been redeemed
yeah.
By Morningstar Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine David, King David, not having a fear of God.
Right.
You know, but you had Saul, King Saul, he had a fear of man, but not a fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the two and compare them, that it's not that either one of them were perfect. It's they dealt with their insecurities and inadequacies differently or their sin differently, where Saul would just build bigger edifices and bigger statues to himself, and he mm-hmm. would take over things he shouldn't have taken over and do things he shouldn't do, trying to preserve himself and protect himself. He feared everything. And he was even shaking behind the luggage when he was made king, you know, his mm-hmm. knees were knocking. But David would fear the Lord and you would hear him. You can just see, he's just like, he says, you know, against you and you only have I sinned, God, before your eyes, Lord, you see. And he's constantly having this awareness of God. And he just understood, don't lay your hands on God's anointed, because it's God's anointed. Mm-hmm. Not that Saul didn't deserve his hands laid on him. He knew that God had anointed him as king, therefore, because he had a fear of the Lord. And it's amazing. I mean, but we all can use more, I guess, the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you're like, is there any fear of the Lord? And that's what, you know, this is, you got to hear this. A group of ministers that are talking about how the church has lost the fear of the Lord. Listen up. Holy desperation.
God, oh beloved, because God says to this man, will I do?
I tremble at your word. Let us tremble this morning.
If ever there was a time that you and I fully embraced the heart of God and the will of God and the ways of God and the word of God, oh, beloved, it's now.
There was a time in this country when I'm sure you would walk in the house of the Lord, and if you were living in willful sin, you would tremble. In awe, there was a reverence of God. There was a sense of God's holiness.
There's very little of the fear of God among today's Christians.
And I want to tell you, God is no grandfather. He's not one who just ignores anything you do, like grandfathers do. What did we read in 1 Peter 1? Spend your entire life on earth. This is not Old Testament, this is New Testament. It's the Apostle Peter writing 30 years after the day of Pentecost. Spend your entire life on earth in fear. The same word. I'm supposed to live my entire life on earth, 1 Peter 1:17, in fear. In fear of what? In fear of God.
1 Peter 1:17, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's works, then conduct yourselves in fear during this time of your stay on earth.
But there was a trembling. There was a time in this country when you walked in the house of God and you knew if you were living in sin, you were going to be confronted.
Paul speaks in Romans 11 about the severity and the goodness of God. In what connection? In his dealing with this ancient people. There's no fear in the church for God. The fear of God is absent from the church, and that's why we take the horrendous liberties that we do. For how shall we fear him if we have not known his severity, his judgments, his dealings, how far he will go, even with his own ancient people who are yet the apple of his eye despite their fallenness?
Even in the church, we've lost our sense of the holiness of God. You know, Charles Wesley gave us that lovely children's hymn, Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon the little child. But you know, some people never get past gentle Jesus.
Has lost the fear of God. There's no fear of God left in the land. This is what the Bible says. The fear of the Lord, fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from their evil. From the fear of the Lord.
A reverent fear of God, which brings freedom. And it's because many Christians do not have that reverent fear of God that they don't come into freedom.
Call it what you want, reverential awe. Call it what you want. But there's such a thing as remember that God is not mocked. There's such a thing as looking at the majesty and holiness of God.
But a one-sided Christianity, which always spoke about, always be sure you're accepted before God. God loves you, brother. Remember God loves you just as you are. His love is unconditional. It's all true. But if you only look at that, you've got one side of God and you've got a one-sided God, and you'll see the end result of that, the way you live. The other is the fear that I may hurt God.
There is no awe, no sense of fear, no deep respect that he's a living God and a seeing and a knowing God. And we can't get away with our little gitchy goo and cutting corners as if he does not observe it.
It's a very different picture in the Word of God. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ needs a new revelation of the majesty of God.
The remarkable thing is, he lets it go on, and he's silent, and we assume that either he has condoned it or he's not seen it until the day comes.
Genesis 20, verse 10. And Abraham said, verse 11, because I thought surely there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. There is no fear of God. These fellows are sexually, you know, polluted. And it's interesting that the first time the Holy Spirit uses the phrase the fear of God is in relation to sexual sin. And as I meditated on it, the Lord showed me that it is through sexual temptation more than in any other area that I test whether men especially fear me or not.
You will one day stand before that throne, and you will be judged before that throne in perfect righteousness.
We're not like Paul, who always lived in the conscious sense of the judge and the day of judgment, and that we shall be held accountable for every idle word that we speak, and that all that we have done in our bodies, both good and bad, will one day come before us when we stand before the judgment of God.
Folks, what's it going to be like? And I've tried to imagine this. What is it going to be like when we stand before the throne? Every pastor, every evangelist, when I stand there, everyone in this pulpit stands there, and everyone who's ever taken the gospel to their lips. And we stand before a holy Christ, and the books are opened. I can't bear the thought that I would have preached for 20 years here in New York City from this pulpit, and that to keep the money flowing, or to keep the crowds coming and every seat filled, that I should give a half gospel or dilute it so I won't offend you.
In Jeremiah's day, the false prophets had the biggest crowds. The true prophet could hardly get folks together. In Jeremiah's day, the thing that was so heavy on his heart was the false prophets told the people what they wanted to hear, and the people naturally flocked. And when he would start to prophesy the true word of the Lord, the people said, would you get this guy to shut up? Could somebody take care of this guy? We don't want to hear this anymore.
And you see, if you have no fear of God, you have to invent a gospel of convenience.
There's all kinds of phony people now, of huge followings. You just turn on some of the Christian television, it's enough to make you sick. And they got people writing checks all over the whole country for them. And they're not even close. But because of the biblical illiteracy among the people, they don't know the genuine from the false, because only through knowing God's word are we going to know what's true. Amen?
And this is what's happened in America and around the world. You see, man can't get away from that nagging sense. And that's the Holy Spirit who says there's death and then there's judgment. There's a day of standing before God to give an account. And the Bible makes it very, very clear. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And there's a day we're going to have to give an account. And there's a hell. And Jesus said there's a hell of fire. And weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, a darkness that can be felt.
A lot of us share God's word here and there. Paul says how he preached. He says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 3, when I came preaching to you, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. Preaching with fear and trembling? Where do we hear of that today? People who preach afraid lest they may say something God doesn't want them to say.
I've heard so many preachers say God doesn't throw anybody into hell. My dear friend, he does. Jesus told us that he does. Fear him who not only can kill the body, but afterwards take your body and your soul and throw you in hell. It is God who throws in hell. You say, well, I just don't like this kind of Christianity. I'm sorry, it's the only one that you've got.
It's the word of God. This is the, when you think about how 81% of professing Christians aren't reading the word, how do you know what God expects? And his expectation is a fear of him, a fear of the Lord. There was a day in the church that people feared coming amongst them. When there's a fear of the Lord present in your gathering, in your life, people just don't do things around you. They don't do things in your presence. I mean, we've seen, you know, because God will, his presence will dwell where there is a fear of the Lord there. And he deals with those whose heart are not right, who bring that sin. You know, and then when you think about it, when the fear, with fear and trembling needs to be present in our life, everything, you know, just like you were saying, Pat, and that, mm-hmm.
and what they were saying, when Ananias and Sapphira fell dead, it says that the fear of the Lord spread and the church grew. Mm-hmm. Listen, the best kingdom advancing, church growing method you could ever have is to get a fear of God in mm-hmm. your life. Now, you can grow all kinds of religious things mm-hmm. with tickling your teachings and, you know, selling people salvation and promoting a program.
Right.
But when you begin to teach the fear of God, the beginning of wisdom,
yeah.
So often tragedy would happen to someone in open sin or to a nation in open sin, and the fear of the Lord would spread, and the church would repent, and the church would grow. I mean, Paul, like he said, would preach with fear and trembling. Some things people do and say, you're thinking, like, you have no idea the eyes of the Lord are upon you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, well, I wouldn't take that for that particular person. It's like, I'm not even thinking about that particular person. I'm thinking about God's eyes on me
right
now. I need to respond in the fear of the Lord. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Don't look to America right now for the fear of the Lord. Look to the Word of God. Look to men and women who love God and are going after Him, who abide with Him, they don't need fences in their life because they have fear, a fear of the Lord. And I think it's really good to have fences around children, you know, who can't control themselves, who have no fear because they're going to get destroyed, get killed.
Right.
You know, and but it's time. If we want this nation to turn around, if we want a move of God, if we want to see God move amongst the nation the way we're seeing Him move in pockets of the nation, it's going to require us to do the very first thing. Wisdom begins with a fear of the Lord. It's time for fear and trembling to come into our hearts again. Lord, strike our heart with a lightning and thunders that come from Your throne room.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.